Welcome to Faith Walking Conversations. In this episode, Marcos León and a group of faith walkers share a time of meditation and learning about practices that can nurture your soul. This week, they focus on the topic soul identity. The soul needs to know self. This conversation was originally recorded in September of 2020. We want to remind you that Faith Walking's mission is to make wholeness possible for individuals, communities, and the world. Visit us at www.faithwalking.us. Join this conversation.
I'm gonna look twice at you until I see the Christ in you. I'm gonna look twice.
Welcome to our conversations, our Monday conversations about meditations and this question of what is helpful to nurture our souls. That is kind of the language that we use, and we have had the opportunity to explore several things, and probably there are so many other things to explore, but this is our third session, I think, on this series about soul identity. You know, we're trying to figure it out or explore other people who have helped us think about identity that is connected with our soul, with the core of us, and we believe is connected with God too. So we have talked about an introduction of that and this kind of paradox of to talk about soul identity, we need to think of knowing God as much as we need to think of knowing self, you know, and that is the tension that we hold. Is not only about knowing God and not only about knowing self. And we started then a week ago, we tried to explore more. What does it mean to know God? You know, what a big question. It seems like a philosophy class. What does it mean to know God? And who are we to answer those things? But there are so many special spaces that get open in us as we hold those questions, especially in the light of Scripture and in the light of our own experience. So we did that last time. We're going to talk today about the soul needs to know self, right? That's kind of the other side. But before I start, I would love to invite you to share how is this going for you? I mean, how have been you thinking about this? Anybody wanting to share? We talk about soul identity, knowing God, knowing self, but we talk like transformational knowledge and all the things that we have touched. Anything that you would like to share?
Well, I'm new, Marcus, but I didn't really know that you had to take care of your soul. I just really thought, you know, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's it. But of course, I've learned on this journey that yes, you do have to take care of your soul. It's precious, your relationship with God and everything. But I'm, like I said, I'm new, so I'm just looking forward to learning more about myself and what God is requiring of me, and then how to be the servant that He wants me to be. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing, Brunel. Probably you reflect many other people who probably say the same thing. You know, with many of us, not for any malice, and this is not a judgment, for many of us, we just didn't know, right? This is just about, okay, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and then we keep living, and the rest of this will happen when we face the Lord. But then we learn that in this journey, there's a lot more than that. And I love how you say, I'm learning to kind of, that I have to take care of my soul. What a beautiful learning.
It's almost embarrassing for me to say that for a long time I really didn't think much about my soul. You know, what is my soul? It's nothing I can put my hands on. I can't hold it like I'm holding something else. And so this has gotten me thinking about my walk with the Lord in a different and deeper way. Than I think I've been doing for a while. And it has come just at the right time in my life where I needed the folks. And I was telling the small group of Saul and Vernell that I'm reading a book Nathan Foster, and he was talking about the fact that during the winter, it's when plants, when trees especially, put down their roots the deepest because they're trying to get the nourishment. It's during that difficult time that we don't see growth, but it's happening. And that's what I feel has been happening during this time that's been a very difficult time for me for the last year and a half. And that has given me so much hope to think that, you know, during this hard time, my soul is growing. So this is kind of pulling things together for me.
Yeah, Judith, thank you. Thank you. How beautiful you express, beautifully you express that, you know, my soul is still growing, even in this hard time, like winter. And actually that is a reality, you know, we go through different seasons. There are seasons for our soul. We have summer, we have winter. There's a different way to, or spring and fall. There's a different way to see what season do you feel your soul is. And, you know, it's so beautiful, reflected in nature, you know. And yeah, that's great. Thank you for sharing. Yeah, it's every time that I come back to this idea of knowing God from a different perspective, that is not only the intellectual, this experiential, this meditation in Jesus and getting into the story, I am present to, if I'm honest, to the distraction that I have. I put myself, I like ideas sometimes more than experiences. It feels that I can control ideas, right? I can control them better. Experiences are tricky because I sometimes don't know what to expect, and sometimes they expose areas of my life that are hard. I remember thinking of the baptism of Jesus. You know, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased, and how that struggle eventually became present to me. Yeah, I love the passage, but something of that would touch me in a different way that was not precisely joyful. You know, I was present to a level of envy, and that was it, envy. So I was present to the longing of hearing that from me, you know, of I wanting to hear that. I wanted to hear that God was pleased with me. And immediately I have this internal dialogue of whatever I say, no, that is Jesus. That is Jesus. That's not you. Because all the things that are going on with me, right? So for example, that is struggle. That is an experiential. I have to eventually come to a place of facing that. And it happened also by the grace of God. In a session with spiritual direction, my spiritual director read that on me. Not without any specific agenda. And we went to a moment of silence, and I was very present to this tension, like ever. You know, actually, no, he read, I think it's Sophonias, and the Lord will rejoice with you, gladness, right? And then you say, oh my God, I love that. I want that. But I can't believe that I deserve that. And that struggle starts unfolding a little bit in my life. Something deeper in me, this reality of that experience. I didn't want to face that. I didn't want to face that conversation with God, because I was afraid that he would probably tell me, no, you don't deserve that. Even if we know better, right? Our little self. Anyway, thank you. Knowing God and knowing self with a different sense of knowledge, a transformational knowledge, is what we are trying to discover. So today, we continue our conversations, right? And we are going to talk about the soul needs to know self, right? Yes, we started knowing God, but we also need to do some work in knowing self. Let me start with David Banner's I think he put all this context of this paradox of knowing self in a really good way in this phrase. He writes, "All humans are created spiritual beings with deep longings to find their identity in God. Those who honestly seek to know themselves will inevitably encounter these longings and face choices about how to respond to them. Deep knowing of self gives opportunity for deep knowing of God. Just as deep knowing of God gives opportunity for deep knowing of self." Here you have, this is the paradox. The couple things that I want to, or that attract me from this phrase, or these words from David Venner. First is these longings to find our identity. I can tell you that that is a universal reality. We all are seeking to find identity. These longings may become painful longings, right? And we need to, eventually in life, we need to face that. And we can do it many, many ways, but the longing is universal. It's a human longing. And I love how David Venner says, deep knowing of self gives opportunity for deep knowing of God and vice versa. So it doesn't mean that the guarantee that because you want to know God or self, you will get to this deep knowledge. They create the opportunity. And when we talk about soul identity, we're talking about how can we position ourselves in the place of least resistance to be able to make those opportunities of real identity, and not efforts that from adolescence. We're trying to find this identity, and some of us are still creating that identity. So that's what we're talking about when we talk about knowing self. The 4 points that I would like to make. The first one is I must know self from a safe starting point. Everything has to start with a self starting point. And the best starting point is that place in which I try to know myself in the context of God's knowledge of me. That sounds very complex, but follow me, right? So I can start trying to know myself absent from God. Yeah, I'm going to create myself, by myself. I'm just going to start thinking and wonder, who am I, right? I believe that God can use that, yes. But I can fall in many traps if I go that way. I can create a self that is my own creation. I can start, mixing a lot of things, right? Or I can try to start knowing myself from the context of how God knows me. Is the context of God's knowledge of self. And so let me put this. This is a passage. I'm going to read it. It's a very known passage. Psalm 139, right? The famous passage, famous psalm of being known by God. This is the message. It's a bit a different wording, the paraphrasis. The psalmist says, "Oh yes, you shape me first inside, then out. You form me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God, you are breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit. How I was sculpted from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watch me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared before I even live one day." Yeah. Eugene Peterson's, paraphrases of the Bible, such a beautiful reminder. So this is one of the contexts that we can start to know self. So to know myself, I have to start to understand, by understanding that God knows me. So I'm not alone in this knowledge. And actually, God knows me more than I know myself. Far more than I know myself. And that is the beginning. That is the safe place where I can start. It's like I don't have to walk in darkness to know myself, but I can follow the thread that there is a knowledge of myself that God has, and I can trust there. You know, doing that, we avoid this peril, I will say, that is creating a self-created self, you know? Man or Marcos wanting to be what Marcos wants to be, right? This is it. Now, let me tell you who I am. And I try to define something that eventually I am not, because I am creating. Actually, the self-created self is the false self. It's the self that I want to be. Thomas Merton says it doesn't exist. It doesn't. It's false, not because it's evil. It's just that it's false. It doesn't exist. It's an illusion. David Venner, again, says, grounding our knowing in ourself, in God's knowing of us, anchors us in reality. It also anchors us in God. So that is the reality that we start. Not my own imagination of who I want to be or should be or I might be, but in the reality of a creator and a creation. Second point, I must know self as a deeply loved self. You know, I can quote the same passage that we read before or read the whole Psalm 139 and find that that context of God is a context of love. Everything starts with love. The only thing that sustains us through life is love. And we don't know that very well. Right? Knowing the self of the original sin is incomplete without knowing the self of the original blessing. You know, that's a beautiful way to put it. Many of us rightly have been trained in seeing the beginning of our existence as the fall. You know, original sin, Adam and Eve, and my own fall. And there is that is part of the story, but that is not all the story. Before that fall, there was an original blessing. You know, and we all know that story, the creation, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good. And when Marcos was created, God said that it was very good. I'm not trying to be selfish, but I have to understand that there's an original blessing. There was an intention of life and love in the creation of God. It was not just a mistake. Oh my gosh, I create all these people. What a headache now. Through the Bible, we hear this tension of the fallen nature and the impact of in God, if you want, of our fallen nature. But we also read the evidence of the love of God, like the prophets telling us, and I will love you. You know, and there's always this restoration. Love conquers everything. So welcome to the paradox of the spiritual journey. A spiritual journey is not a journey that we can see is black and white. We need some black and whites in our life. Believe me, I am all for it. You have to start by understanding some black and whites. But as you keep walking into the spiritual journey, more and more the need of holding tension, holding accepting paradoxes is there. And this is one of those. Original blessing, original sin. Yes, I am both. I call it little self. Marcos of the little self and Marcos of the greatest self. So consider Jesus and his knowledge of self, you know, as a model. So how Jesus knew himself, you know, and you see that I love Jesus as we talk, it makes God personal. And he knew that he knew that he knew that he was loved by his Father. He didn't have a doubt about it. And you might say, well, that is Jesus. And this is the same thing that I was saying at the beginning. Yes, that is Jesus. But Jesus is inviting me to follow him there and to dare to believe that there is something of that which it becomes my destiny too. Marcos, you are loved too. I can call God Father, because Jesus called God Father. You know, I know that the Father, even the word Father, has a lot of limitations for many people, right? But I know that I'm loved. And as I see that in Jesus, I understand that. And I have to dare to start believing that for me. And probably that is one of the hardest things to accept of this journey. In my own experience through conversations, my own spiritual direction or offering a spiritual direction, the hardest thing to believe is I'm loved. Believe experientially. I might know it intellectually, but I don't feel it. The love of God is not at stake. Probably this is one of the things that I repeat the most in the process of faith work, you know, and in counseling. Is never at stake. If you are in Christ, the love of God is not at stake. There are consequences, there are hard situations, there are, yeah, the correction, all of that. But the love of God is not at stake. This is like me with my kids, right? Lots of correction is needed, but my love is never at stake. God loves us with an unconditional, unlimited, invincible love. And unlimited, you know, some of us have grown, in the reality that the love of God doesn't grow on the trees, kind of like money, right? They tell us, hey, money doesn't grow on the trees. You know, you have to take care. There's always, it is like a little bit of a scarcity mentality around the love of God. And God is telling us that this is not scarcity, it's abundance of love. There's never enough. I love this quote of David Benner. I probably have put it before, but I repeat it because it's such a good one. Created from love, of love, and for love. Our existence makes no sense apart from divine love. That's the context. Anything that is outside of this is just a harder road. For many of us, this is a continuous process of reformation, in which God reveals us to ourselves so he can reveal his love to ourselves. And the revelation that God has made from ourselves is the real self. You know, the self that is broken, yes. But it is not about judgment. It is about love. It starts, this journey, or this process of reformation, it starts in a prayerful and honest desire. It unfolds in encounters with God in God, with God in self, and with God in others, and with God in the world. God everywhere. Not a space without God, no time without God, no circumstances without God. And when I say God in God, is yes, it's God in scripture, God in worship, you know, God in the temple, God in the congregation. But it's also with God in self, finding that original blessing in me, that words inside of me that says God is in me, the character of Christ is growing in me. And with God in others, because I need this. I have many experiences in which vulnerability and honesty in this spiritual journey have allowed me to see a glimpse of the incarnation of that love in the way that people have loved me. And we all can say, yes, I have been hurt by others. Yes, we all have. But we have also been healed by God through others. And then classic quotation or phrase in counseling is, we are hurt and wounded in the context of relationships, but we are also healed in the context of relationships. And I have experienced that. This spiritual journey is not a spiritual journey that we are live alone, unless God calls us to that, you know, and then making a case for people to live in reclusion and in solitude. But many of us are called to live in community. That's what I believe. That's what I see in Jesus. And God in the world, yes, God in nature. Many of us don't know how much nature is a window for our souls. But all of this becomes a mirror ourselves and God. So, what is your transformational knowledge of yourself as deeply loved by God? And I am intentional in this question because I know that this is a very heavy question. Many of us might say yes immediately, but I invite you to wonder and to ponder that this week. What is the transformational knowledge of yourself as deeply loved by God? That this being renewed is not only that one that happened. Yes, is that once, but is that increasing? Is that ongoing? Is that encounter continuing? That is the way that we know ourselves as loved. Selves that are not loved by God. Okay, third point. I must know self in all my ignored part selves. And this is David Benner's term. It's a very good way. It's an insight that brings us from the psychological aspect, the counseling part of it. The ignored part self. So consider yourself, like if you will be a family of many part selves. You know, so it is many, I don't want to say personalities because it's not personalities, but because they are not complete, they are part of you. It's not the whole of you. It is a part of you. And I'm not talking about role selves. I'm not talking about Marcos as a father, Marcos as a husband, Marcos as a son. I'm not talking about roles, but part selves. So my broken self, my competent self, my incompetent self, my secure and confident self, or my insecure and non-confident self, my angry self, my addicted self, my shameful self. So parts of us, especially those parts that we're not aware or we don't want to consider in normal and regular basis, right? The problem with these parts of myself is the fact that I have some of these parts that I ignore and exclude from my own awareness, right? They might be repressed or denied. So it is not hard for me to abide and to be aware of my confident self, right? And maybe for some of us might be a problem, but you know, when I'm functioning, my functional self, my do good work, efficient self, that's a great self to be with. The self that is not really easy to be with is my angry self. You know, I'm a 9 on the Enneagram. I'm sorry for throwing the Enneagram. It's just, but you know, I've learned, the Enneagram has helped me to learn that I have an anger that is repressed inside of me. And you know, just the fact that I'm becoming more aware of my anger, it has been a tremendous help in many aspects of my life, spiritually, emotionally, relationally. Just the fact that know that anger is a deal, is a thing in me, and it is under the radar. You know, like I always say, like the rivers in Texas. I don't know if you have seen Texas. It's so hot sometimes in summer that you are crossing a bridge that says river, whatever, River Marcos. And there's no river. You say, there's no river. But the truth is the river is there. It's under the surface. You don't see it, but it's running. Anger like that anger is like that for me. It's like one of those rivers. And that is an example of that part self that I have not dealt with. And you know a little bit about the Enneagram, you know why, the personalities and the formation and the tendencies that I have to avoid anger in me and in everybody. So the problem is that that self exists and is ignored. And without that acknowledging and facing that self, it is really hard to face myself and to know myself. My true self is an integrated real self. You know, real includes everything. Everything is integrated, even the not so pretty part of me. I can't face, pray, or surrender a self that I don't know I have. So I can never surrender my anger until I start acknowledging that there is level of anger in me. So my ignored part selves must be exposed to God, to God's love, so they can be healed. This is the paradox. You know that all these part selves that I ignore them and I hide them because they are broken. I don't want to see them. I put a little angry self in a closet and lock the door and throw the key. or I crucify that self, or I, you know, fast to see if that self disappears, because I don't like it, because it's broken. But the only path for healing to that broken self is by exposing that self to God. And I wish I can tell you, it's just once, just one prayer will change it. The truth is that it's a lot more than once. It takes place a long time. Okay, let me finish with this fourth point. Healthy knowledge of self includes self-acceptance and self-knowledge. I want to say very clearly, this is not the goal. The goal is intimacy and communion with God. That's the goal. But the path is knowing myself. And the path for knowing myself includes a self-acceptance and self-knowledge. I put acceptance before crucifixion or only crucifixion. I'm trying to play with the words. What I want to say is many of us, me, you know, in my ignore parts selves and the parts I don't like, what I've been trying to do is just kill them, crucify them, you know, cast them out, pray or do whatever, fast until they die. But the truth is that they don't die. I don't know how is that working for you. It hasn't worked really well for me. There has been a learning in me that there is an acceptance that needs to take place, an embracing. We need to face those things with God. And I discover, not that God hates them. Actually, this sounds really hard. But what I discover when I expose them is that God loves me, loves them, loves the broken self, the angry self. So Marcos, angry Marcos, is loved by God. And only when that becomes real for me, it's a lot easier to let it go. And I would say it doesn't disappear. It's like this friend that leaves and sometimes comes back. And I wish it wouldn't, but it comes back. My anger comes back. But I don't have to expose them. Or I'm sorry, I don't have to crucify them or fight in the same way that I did before. Because once it has been exposed to God, there is learning love that is transforming. Allowing God to accept me as I am helps me accept myself. This acceptance of self is not self-justification, but it is grounding in unconditional love and reality. That's what we are doing. I'm not talking about, okay, accept your broken self. No, don't justify. The only one who justifies is God and Jesus. You expose it so you can be grounded in love and discover that you were loved even when you were being that. You were loved even when you were a sinner. Marcos is loved even when he was angry. These are the basis of my true identity, my true self. That grounding in love and reality. Yes, Marcos, you need to be less selfish. Yes. And I love you, and I love you, and I love you. Those two messages need to take place. David Venner, once again, reality must be embraced before it can be changed. Our knowing of ourselves will remain superficial until we are willing to accept ourselves as God accepts us, fully and unconditionally, just we are. Beautiful. Let me finish. This is Augustine again in the book of Confessions, another little snippet of that. He writes, the abyss of the human conscious lies naked to your eyes, O Lord. So would anything be secret even if I were unwilling to confess it to you? I will be hiding you from myself, but not myself from you. We are known. Let me stop there and invite you to respond or ask, or what these stirs up in you.
Marcos, I think this was really good material. I think that a lot of this stuff pertains to like what I've seen God doing over the past few years, where it's interesting, there's things that I am that aren't necessarily accurate. And fortunately, I've been in Christian community call me out on those things, like, hey, I know you think you're really challenged for you, but I don't, you know, I don't really see that, or whatever. But there's things that, yeah, that God just in his mercy and kindness has revealed to me that, like, hey, you're asking me to do this thing, but really you're over here. Like, you're asking me to meet you in this place, and that's not even where you're at. And I'm trying to work on this other thing. The whole idea of the different selves and your true self and having to surrender that before you can move forward is really good.
Thank you. Thank you, Laura. Yeah, I think it is for all of us, you know, after salvation, if you want, conversion, and knowing Christ, we are actually reformed. We are transformed. I think this speaks to it. Sadly, many of us have emphasized only some aspects of this. And I love how you say it. You were breaking a little bit doing what you say, but you say, like, you know, God is asking me things that I cannot do. How this works, you know? And that's the kind of conversation that we need to have with God. It's not a conversation of with malice, pride, or judgment, but let's start. Are you asking this thing? How is this possible? And on the other side, the only self that can really relate to God and to others, for that sake, is your true self.
I've been struck lately with just the understanding that's so amazing that we're loved so much that we're drawn into the fellowship of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But, you know, that's what the scripture tells us, that as they love each other, so are we to love each other and love them and are loved by them and are drawn into that very fellowship. And I find no room in that picture of not loving myself.
Yeah. Yeah. I love. So there's this icon, probably you have seen it, right, of the Trinity. It's in Turkey. Sophia is the Hagia Sophia, the famous thing. The icon is Trinity, right? And I won't go into details. There's a little square in the original icon that people think that it was for a mirror. So the real community and fellowship was not only Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There was a space, a mirror. So here you are. And you know, even consider what happens in you when you hear that you're invited into that. I don't know, but I can tell you what happens to me. Fear. My God. I want to, of course, I love it. It's longing. I want to be part of it, but I don't know if I can. I don't know if I'm good at it. And this might be my specific kind of brokenness, right? That is part of the reality. What does it take for me to join that?
Well, the knowing that it's just offered to and not something I have to earn.
Yeah. So it's not by works, right? And that brings us back to this essence of I have to know myself in the context of God. That is the strength. That is the self that becomes real. And I just mentioned that I love that God is about real. So I don't know you. And I don't say this with judgment, please. I'm tired of not real. I'm tired of not real.
Tired of what? Not real?
Yes, I'm tired of whatever is not real.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure I understood you.
Yes. Yes. Let me share this prayer and this blessing as closing of our conversation. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. For more information about Faith Walking, visit www.faithwalking.us. We want to remind you that Faith Walking exists because of your financial support. Please consider giving at faithwalking.us/donate. Thank you for listening.
Until I see the Christ in you. Till I'm looking through the eyes of love. Till I'm looking through the eyes of love.